Welcome to Award Wieners. I'm your co-host, John, joined by the big kid, David. Usually, this is our night at the Oscars, where we watch Oscar-winning movies while enjoying Oscar Mayer Wieners. Tonight, we're changing it to a kid's menu, talking about the movies we loved as children. Dave, what's going on?
Want to have a sleepover? Mom says we can have pizza.
We've had plenty of sleepovers, interestingly enough.
We actually asked many of them.
Yeah, like I think once or twice a year, not now, given COVID, but I come up to visit you. You come down here, or we try to make that a thing. Let's do it again. I'd be happy to do it again.
Yeah, once things are normal. One day. Yeah. In 2021.
Or 2022. Who knows? No one's responsible.
I don't know about that. But I was thinking, you know, sleepovers used to be such a big deal. Did you have like things that you did at a sleepover?
Yeah, we probably did the same things you did. You know, we'd have dinner, watch a movie or two, probably stay up too late playing games or whatever. And then that would be that.
But it felt so much bigger, right? You're 10 or 11 years old. And you're like, I'm going to be up till midnight.
Oh, my God. I feel like I do that every day and wish I didn't.
You do. You do send me texts late at night, and I'm like, I see him in the morning because I go to bed much earlier. And I'm like, what is he doing? Like, really? Like, what are you doing that late? Like,
there's nothing. I'm not doing anything of any benefit to myself. Like, I need to go to bed a little bit earlier. It's usually just like I'm aimlessly. I'm trying not to do any phone time or anything, but it usually be like, oh shit, there's something I need to do, and then it turns into that internet vortex of I'm clicking on this link. Now I'm going to click on that link. I don't even have social media on my phone anymore, so I don't even look at that stuff. So I don't know what it is. I'm like listlessly shopping or something. I don't know what's going on.
When I get in that type of behavior, I'm usually on Instagram, and I call it doom scrolling. That's not my term. Someone else came up with that.
Yeah, yeah.
It happens a lot, and that's why I purchased the I have a plastic container, a clear container that I can put my phone in. And I can lock it in there for X number of hours. So I'll just do that before I go to bed. So I have no choice. I have to, you know.
Can you charge your phone while it's in there?
No, I just turn it off.
I feel like you should drill a hole in there so you can, like, plug your phone in while it's in there.
Okay, I'll think about it. Probably won't, but, you know, maybe.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. What else is going on? I'm moving, Dave.
Oh, what? Tell me more.
Just around the corner. So I've given up on the DC COVID lifestyle because most things are closed. I'm tired of trying to run in the neighborhood with a mask on and avoid people. I find that to be like an activity that I usually found to be kind of mindless and kind of a stress relief in some capacity is now like a stressful activity. I fucking hate it. I hate running around here. I hate running with a mask, moving out into the suburbs where there either are no people or it's just a lot quieter. So I've given up for now.
Well, good luck with that. In terms of what's going on with me, I saw Money Plane.
And?
It is one of the worst movies I've ever seen, and I loved every second of it. It is so incompetent that it's amazing.
Okay, I mean, like, are we talking The Room levels of incompetence, or was this more of, like, a planned incompetence?
That's a really great question. So it's not like The Room. Like, I feel like The Room, Tommy Wiseau was like, I am making Hamlet, and then, you know, he didn't. And this movie was like, they start off trying to make something serious, and about halfway through, they realize that, oh, this is going really bad. So they turn it into a campy movie. It has Kelsey Grammer in it as a bad guy. It has The Edge, the wrestler, in it as the main character. And it's about this group of thieves who have to rob a plane that is also a casino that caters to the criminal underworld. It's just so, so incompetent. It's amazing.
It's like being in international waters, kind of, where you get it in this plane and then you gamble.
Yeah, exactly. And you can gamble on anything you want. Yeah, like, not to give too much away, but there's a scene where, like, how long will this guy last because he's been bitten by a rattlesnake? And they bet on how long he'll stay alive. Except it's so incompetent. Like, the sets look like something you and I could do. Everything looks like it was filmed in a warehouse. It's so, so bad. And I loved it because it's hilarious. So you have to check it out if you're into really bad movies that are unintentionally good.
I feel like I've watched a couple of Netflix releases and I saw that, I don't know, let me check if I have my dates right here, but New Mutants, is that coming out like in a week?
Yeah, I believe it comes out in September. A week. I believe it comes out in a week or 2 weeks in theaters. I don't think it drops on VOD.
I feel like this is the perfect opportunity for this movie, which has been kicked like a can down the road for years, right? Like, when did this start filming?
I mean, this was supposed to come out when like Game of Thrones ended, so last year. Okay. But it also went through a lot of went through hell, it sounds like, because they kept changing the script. They wanted to tie it into the X-Men universe, and then Dark Phoenix did bad, and then they didn't want to tie it in, and they had a cameo planned, and then they're signing, was Doug Locke going to be at it? And he wasn't. Anyway, I'm excited about it. I'm not going to go to the theater and see it because I can't, but when it comes on VOD, I'll definitely watch it.
I feel the same way. I saw some, I guess, like assessments of how healthy or safe it is to go to movie theaters with COVID, and the answer is not at all. So they're just like, there's no way to socially distance no matter what you do. Don't do it. That's what I saw. So I am not going to do that.
Are you
going
to do Mulan?
No, I don't really need to see that movie. They've already made a man out of me, so I just don't care.
We'll talk about it when it comes out, because if we want to split it, I'd consider it.
While we've now talked about all the things that we would like to do if the world were normal, let's go into talking about why we're doing this episode.
Yeah, sure. So I think this doesn't come as a big surprise to anyone, but it's a really difficult time right now. And I know especially I've had a difficult time concentrating. I have a lot of high anxiety. And one of the ways that I've dealt with that, and I think you have too, John, is that I've watched a lot of comforting TV shows, things I grew up watching. So that is Star Trek. That is King of the Hill, which I recently started watching. Things that remind me of, you know, my family, my home, that make me feel good. That includes TV and movies. So we wanted to do an episode of just about nostalgia. These are the movies that we watched when we were younger, and we're going to talk about why we like them, why we pick them, some favorite memories about them.
I'm just going to say that's exactly it. Dave, you want to tell us how you came to the decision on the movies you chose? So we each chose three. What was your process?
I made a list of movies that I know that I've seen a lot. And then I called my mother and I was like, hey, Mom, what movies did I watch a lot when I was a kid? And I wrote all those down right off the bat.
Fact checking.
Yeah, I did. I fact checked. And this is kind of an interesting story. She was like, first, you watch Wizard of Oz constantly. I knew that. I absolutely knew that. And then she said, you also watched Howard the Duck. I do know that movie really well for some reason, but I don't have a memory in my head of watching that over and over as much as she said I did. So I didn't include this. But the idea was I was going to try to get something that I had fond memories of, like movies that I was probably 5 until 12-ish, 13-ish was what I wanted to do. When I got into my teens, I didn't want to pick any of those.
Oh, well, I think I did some movies from my teens or early teens. Mine were basically movies that I watched a lot, kind of like you said. But the reason I watched a lot of the movies we had is we probably had like 5 or 10 VHS tapes. And these are just ones that we had. So we watched them a lot.
Here are the ones I did. I'm doing Wizard of the Oz.
Wizard of the Oz.
Wizard of Oz. Gremlins and Cliffhanger. And the movies that were almost made the cut here were Howard the Duck, even though I don't remember a lot about it. Transformers the movie. That's the animated one. I rented that over and over and over again. And then Blade, but I decided not to do Blade because I was a teenager when I really got into that movie.
I feel like that came out around 98 or so. Is that accurate?
I don't know. It was like one of the few DVDs I owned, so I would just rewatch it over and over. And then all the movies that I just mentioned, I had them all on VHS in some form or fashion. Like Gremlins and Cliffhanger were taped off of TV, and then Wizard of the Oz was an actual collection. In fact, my mother told me that they bought Wizard of Oz. It was the first VHS they purchased, and they did it accidentally. Like they went to a VHS store and they were thinking about it, and then they ended up buying one, and they bought Wizard of Oz because it came in a huge containing case. And it was like impossible to like drop it and hurt it. So they were like, here you go.
Okay. It's like in a clamshell kind of thing.
A big white thick case for the VHS. Mm-hmm. All the old Disney movies had it. It was just like a more substantial, it wasn't a slipcover.
That's the clamshell. That's what that's called.
Yeah.
I don't know how someone gave it to us. We purchased it. We had The Mask on VHS, so we watched that a lot. Jurassic Park, and then Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I don't know if we actually own that, but I feel like in those sleepovers, that's the movie we almost always watched.
Yeah, I watched a lot of particularly the second one. I mean, I watched the first one, but the second one I spent a lot of time with.
Oh, that's the
Secret of the
Super Shredder. Yeah.
Yeah. When they kill the babies.
I don't remember that.
No, babies. It's not. They don't actually kill the babies. At the end of the movie, they fight the Bebop and Rocksteady knockoffs, but they're basically little kids. They've been adult sized for less than a day. So like the turtles are just wailing on some kids.
Okay. Gotcha. So notes on nostalgia, Dave. What did you find is going on in these COVID times?
So I did just a little bit of research because I wanted to understand nostalgia a little bit. You know, here are just a couple facts. So a recent Nielsen study examined the impact of COVID-19 on entertainment consumption. And the study concluded that more than half of consumers today are seeking out comfort and familiar music and television shows. It doesn't include movies, but I think it broadly captures the idea that as a society, a lot of us are stressed. And so we're turning to things that we like or we liked as a kid, as we liked as younger adults. According to a couple articles I read, nostalgia helps people to cope with negativity when in a lonely or poor state of mind. Special moments are recalled to help deal with current problems. And people who experience more anxiety tend to become nostalgic in order to help soothe the inner worries. And this is according to an article from Science Friday. So nostalgia has been considered a disorder ever since the term was coined in the 17th century by a Swiss physician. And this physician had attributed soldiers' mental and physical maladies to their longing to return home. So it's a combination of, you know, two words. So it's the Greek nosotos and the accompanying alagos.
So nosotos means home.
Yes.
And then algos is
pain,
missing, pain, absence, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So it just put them together. So that's how it makes sense. So some more things about nostalgia. It has been shown to counteract loneliness, boredom, and anxiety. And it makes people more generous to strangers and more tolerant of outsiders. And couples feel closer and look happier when they're sharing nostalgic memories. And then most people feel nostalgia maybe once a week. And nearly half of people experience it 3 to 4 times a week. And then finally, nostalgia levels tend to be high among young adults. And then they dip in middle age and then rise again when you're older.
Getting back to consumers going back to familiar music and TV shows, is part of that because not as much is being produced anymore. So it's harder for us to find new content.
In a sense, yes. And movie-wise, I mean, there's still stuff coming out, but it's not like it was a couple weeks ago. And I would say that even like YouTube channels are going really, really strong, like independent YouTube channels. But movies and television shows, there's just not enough of it put out as it was 6 months ago, 9 months ago.
Right. Especially with most of sports being
canceled. Yeah, yeah. But there's also the opportunity, you know, like, you can go watch stuff that's recent that you just didn't catch. But this is particularly referring to things that you have fond memories to. So it's objects and media that you've already consumed previously and you're re-consuming it to relive those memories.
So Dave, our first movie is Wizard of Oz. How many times do you think you've seen this movie?
As just a guesstimate, I think I've seen this between 100 and 150 times. That doesn't mean I remember all those times, but as a kid, it was the only VHS we had for a long time, as I mentioned previously. And my mother would just put it on and I would watch it while she did work around the house. It's like when you're a kid, you get obsessed about something. It's like our friend Mike's child was really into Frozen. This was my Frozen. I just watched it over and over and over. And I swear I must have driven my parents crazy.
Should I be surprised that the VHS lasted 150 times? I am not sure.
So it's not just the VHS. So I've had this in multiple different forms.
Okay, I see.
Yeah, so I've seen it. This is TV, this is DVD, this is Blu-ray. I own it on Amazon. I've seen it just a million times.
How many times do you think you could play a VHS before it broke?
I'm going to say at least 100.
Okay, I have no idea. Just curious. Because usually like something happened, either it broke or the player broke or some combination of the two.
I've just seen it just an ungodly amount of times. Like when I was watching it for this episode, I was like, I don't even need to watch this. So I just put it on the background because I know everything is going to happen. So how many times have you seen it?
I'd say maybe a dozen.
You think that's low or high for the average person?
I don't know. Maybe high. I mean, how many people, watch this movie more than, a couple times?
I think it's high. I do. I think it's high. You're above average on the Wizard of Oz consumption rate.
And when was the last time you watched this movie prior to a recent watch?
10 years ago or so.
Okay. I think I'm about the same. And, you know, what is your fondest memory of watching this film?
Yeah. So I mentioned this already, but I would watch this while my mother worked. They would put it on, you know, at night, and I would eat like a frozen dinner, like their little like penguin dinners. I can't even tell you what they were, but they were TV dinners, and there was like a little brownie, and you would put them in the microwave. And that's what I remember. I just always remember having it on. It's always being on. And for a long time, it was one of those things when I was little, people always gave me Wizard of Oz type of paraphernalia. And even now my mother mentions it, like how much I loved it. And I still do really love this movie.
Similarly, I feel like my mom liked this movie, so we watched it a little bit as well. I think she was a fan of Judy Garland.
Judy Garland's pretty good. She's 17 in this. That's crazy. So since you rewatched it, what did you think about it?
I did not remember much of it. Only like certain parts really stuck with me because I probably hadn't seen it in a decade and mostly watched it as a child. There were songs I did not remember at all. There were large portions of the movie I didn't remember at all. And then there were things that happened very quickly, I felt. So I recalled maybe a different order of events and things like that. So that was my reaction to it. It was not how I remembered it. What about you?
I still liked it. It's basically how I remembered it, except for a couple of exceptions. So I think it moved way faster as an adult than it does as a kid. This movie burns rubber. It's like go, go, go. And all the songs are shorter than I remember. I had this point, I was like, what song do I like the most? And it used to be Somewhere Over the Rainbow. And then I think as an adult, it's oh my God. I just blanked on the song. So I guess it's not that good.
The Lollipop Guild song?
Oh, here's a point. Here's a weird thing about the Lollipop Guild. So everyone knows the Lollipop Guild, but there's the women who sing right before them, though I think they get shafted. And I can't remember their name. But it was some like really funny name.
Gumdrop something or?
Yeah, it was like, it was the same alliteration. It was like, we're the Sugar Plum Society. And then I was, I was like, oh, I've never heard this before.
There's also like the mayor's hut is like around the corner or something like that. You know, like there's like a whole like executive house for the town that's mentioned. And I'm like, I do not remember that at all.
Now I remember the song that I was really into. So clearly I love Somewhere Over the Rainbow. But the song that I remember liking the most this time out was the bit when the lion ends right before they're about to go meet the wizard.
Your Majesty, if you were king, you wouldn't be afraid of anything?
Not nobody! Not nohow!
Not even a rhinoceros?
Imposterous!
How about a hippopotamus?
Why, I'd trash him from top to bottom.
Supposing you met an elephant?
I'd wrap him up in cellophane.
What if it were a brontosaurus?
I'd show him who was king of the forest.
How?
How? Courage.
Some of the things I also noted, the 4K restoration is amazing. It looks really, really good. So good that you can see they're on a soundstage.
Do you think it looks so good because you watched it on VHS for so long, which is a vastly inferior format?
Maybe, because I've never seen this in a theater.
Okay.
But it just looked, I just don't remember, seeing it look so good, because I've also seen this on DVD, but it wasn't the restoration. Mm. But it's just, the colors are so bright and vibrant. So I have something I wanted to chat about. So when I watched this film, I couldn't help but wonder, how did people react to it when they first saw it? You know, when they were like, walked in a theater, it was black and white, and then it flipped over to color, Technicolor. So I read a couple articles about that time, and it was generally well received. And then the article went on to say, you know, Wizard of Oz didn't become this huge phenomenon until 1956, when CBS aired it over the air. That first showing reached 45 million viewers. So it sort of recaptured everyone's attention. And the article also talked about how at that time when it first came out, movies were so ephemeral. You know, they were in the public's consciousness and then they were gone. You wouldn't think that you were going to see it again because there was no real way for you to do it. And I think we've talked about that.
Yeah, like Ben-Hur was like an all-day affair. If you wanted to catch it again after it was out of the theater, you'd have to like schedule your day.
Yeah, so it was really interesting because I had always thought in my head that this movie was huge from the moment it came out, and it was popular, you know, but it was not what it is today.
All right, Dave, I got a couple questions for you. At the beginning of the time when Dorothy lands in Oz, there are actually two roads leading out of the town that she lands in. There's the red brick road, and the yellow brick road, and they mention the red brick road. Where does the red brick road go?
It doesn't go anywhere. It just winds into a circle, doesn't it? Oh, wait. It goes out into the distance. Yeah.
It goes somewhere else. So there was going to be a sequel to this movie that was going to explore that, but it got canned.
I mean, there was a sequel to this movie.
Yes, but something happened with that one more specifically, which was going to talk about the Red Brick Road.
All right. Well, tell me about it. I don't know anything about it.
That's it. That's all there is.
They were going to go to fight the Gnome King?
They did not. I don't know if they ever fully explored it, but that was like one of the premises for a potential sequel that didn't come to be.
The sequel is, I believe, with Firouza Balk from The Craft as a young girl. That movie is terrifying, by the way. It's really scary.
The Return to Oz. It's very different. It's very dark.
Yeah, it's scary. And then a chicken kills a Gnome King. Let's put it that way.
And then as I was watching this, Dave, did you watch Power Rangers as a kid?
I did, yeah.
So there's this character of Rita Repulsa and her henchmen. Like, one of them is like a flying monkey guy, basically. Do you feel like somehow they just took this from Wizard of Oz? Like, she's an evil witch. Rita's an evil witch. She's got a flying monkey henchman.
Goldar? I think it's Goldar. I am pretty certain that's where they came from. They are interlinked somehow. I mean, I love the idea of flying monkeys. They're really good. Like, it's pretty good animation, too. It's just not animation, but costuming. It looked really good.
I would say that about a lot of it. So the special effects and things were a lot better than you would think for a movie that came out in like 1938 or something like that.
Yeah. So I looked up the Amazon reviews and I was going through it. And as you might expect, there's like a billion 5-star reviews. But then I got interested and I started going through the 1-star reviews. People were complaining about how this wasn't quote unquote the original version of the movie, because Scarecrow has a gun in it when they go to infiltrate the wizard's tower. And this feels like one of those Berenstain Bear moments, because it's always been there. Like, I don't know
I thought I saw that too. And it was like one of those moments where you're like, oh shit, I didn't realize he had a gun.
He never uses it, but yeah, he has it. And everyone's like, just complaining over and over. This is not the real one. I can't show my kids this. And I'm like, probably shouldn't show you this kids anyway. Like, the main character kills two witches.
It is kind of a weird movie. She sort of accidentally kills both of them, though. You know, like, she didn't think throwing... Should we ruin it? Can we spoil this movie? I won't say anything. Okay. She accidentally kills two witches, and I won't go into how, in case you don't know.
Okay. Have you ever watched this movie on psychedelics, like, timed it up to Pink Floyd's The Wall, I think?
No, Dark Side of the
Moon.
Dark
Side of the Moon, yeah.
I have not. Have you?
No, I've always wanted to, but then I'm also like, I don't want to do mushrooms that are going to last 8 hours so I can watch a 90-minute movie.
I mean, we could pretty easily time things with the audio and the movie at this point, I'm pretty sure. So, I mean, that we could do.
Yes. Yeah, I think we could do that pretty easily.
I've never even attempted that. Have you tried that?
I have definitely synced it up, and it works, clearly. But I've never, you know, done the whole thing. I've only done it through like the black and white into the color.
Along those lines. So the Horse of Many Colors, it was interesting to see how they just did some of these special effects. And it, like, they all looked really good.
This was a very good practical effects movie. Of the movies we're talking about today, like, this is one. This is probably, it's one of the best. It's up there with Jurassic Park. It holds up across the board.
All right, moving on. Next movie. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. How many times do you think you've seen this one?
So I had to guess. I think I saw it. I've seen it 10 to 15 times. As I mentioned earlier, I was really into the second one. How about you?
Probably like 30 times. Again, this was like somehow the movie that my friends had when we went for sleepovers.
We should explain how big the turtles were when we were younger. Like, I know they were huge now, but they feel even bigger when we were, like, before we were 10.
I'm not sure I feel they're still huge. Maybe they are. I don't really know. But when we were little kids, like, the toys sold out everywhere forever, and they were impossible to find. And it was on every kid's wish list. So you just could not find them. It was darn near impossible.
And they saturated everything. There was just like
many variations.
Like, yeah, so much stuff.
Space Leonardo, because I remember, or Space Raphael, which I remember having him in a spaceman outfit. Or like Donatello in an overcoat. I don't know, Flasher Donatello.
Now is the time to strike!
Who won't stop Shredder? Leonardo can't, he's off in the Far East. And Michelangelo can't, cause he's sewer surfing down under.
Why both?
And Raphael's on maneuvers in orbit, a total space cadet.
So there are all sorts of weird figures, and they just kept expanding that line because they were selling like crazy. And I'm not sure what happened ultimately. It kind of collapsed on itself, I guess.
And it was really the cartoon, not the movie.
Yes, that's true.
And this is a comic book movie, everyone. I'm sure you know that already, but it is a comic book movie.
Yeah. Have you read the original comic?
No.
I have. It's interesting. It's very self-contained. It's short, and that's it. And just like this movie, they kill Shredder at the end.
But doesn't it expand? Doesn't it go on for a while?
The comic series? Well, so they had that initial one, which was like kind of a one-shot, if you will. And then they did have some series that ran on. I've actually read some of the more recent things. I'd still say it's 5 or 6 years, probably longer, since I read some of the expanded stories. And they were okay, I have to say. They were not really targeted to kids, but they were okay.
Have you seen any of the Michael Bay remakes?
No. Have you?
Oh, no. No. I mean, I'm like mildly curious, but also I could do better things in my time.
I think there were like some really bad jokes in the trailer, and I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that.
Okay. So when was the last time you watched this film?
It's probably been 10, probably more than 10 years, I'd have to say.
Wow. Wow. So you watch it as an adult?
No, I did not watch it as an adult. It's been more than 10 years since I've seen it. Maybe more than 20. I honestly, I couldn't tell you the last time I watched it.
I saw it when in the mid 90s somehow. So it had to be before I was a teenager. But I honestly didn't remember this movie at all.
I remembered a lot of it. This movie's really weird. There's like this gang of boys. You know, feels like a bit like Oliver Twist, like they're stealing and like living some fantasy life. And then the plot doesn't really make sense. And then at the end, suddenly they're like, let's try to throw a message in here. Yep, your dad's trying his best. He still loves you, runaway child.
Yeah, that's kind of it. Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't hold up. It's really weird. But before we get there, I wanted to ask you what your fondest memory was.
The turtle costume seemed really cool as a kid. You know, they're like live action. They took the cartoon and made them real, but it was very different from the cartoon. So I feel like, you know, we had mixed feelings about that.
Did you start doing Taekwondo because of the turtles?
No.
Okay.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
They were ninjas though. That would have been ninjutsu.
Like my parents knew any better. Okay. So my fondest memory of just turtles in general, I remember I was very young and my parents took me to Toys R Us and they were like, you can have all the turtles and Shredder. And they sent me to go find them, and I got all 5 figures, and I was incredibly excited to have them all.
Well, lucky you, because it was almost impossible to find, you know, most of the turtles. You could find like one, and it was always Raphael. That's what I remember. I'm like, true, I don't want always another fucking Raphael.
I don't want a Raphael. Oh, yeah, yeah. It's right. There was like ones you really wanted to get a hold of and you can never find them. And it was always the friends, right?
I feel like maybe that's where the whole marketing thing collapsed, is they just needed to continuously release the core four in their normal format. And not being able to get those kind of ruined it, I felt like.
Yeah. Was this movie darker than you remember?
It's weird. Like, it's got these like undertones of dystopian cult groups that were... Remember the satanic panic of the 80s and 90s?
I mean, remember it, quote unquote. I mean, I know of it, barely remember it because I was too young.
I was sort of aware of it because there were like all these stories in like Hardline or whatever it is, Inside Edition, about like child slavery, sex rings, and all these things that never really existed or maybe happened once. This felt a little bit like this weird dystopian thing where these kids were disappearing and playing into that a little bit. It was also, for me, amusing to see what they thought boys would want to do once they left their parents' control. So like, there's these scenes when they're showing this like warehouse that these kids are like hanging out in. They're playing video games. I'm like, okay, sure, that makes sense. They're skateboarding everywhere because somehow boys, when they get alone, just skateboard. There's that scene where the kid's like, yeah, do you have any cigarettes? And you're like, why the fuck would you suddenly take up smoking as a 12-year-old? And then they do martial arts. I don't know. It's just, it seemed funny to me, like the weird things that they thought unattended boys would get into or want to do.
So who's your favorite character?
Probably April O'Neil, because she thinks she's gonna make a lot of money as a reporter, right?
Sad to say, like, nope. I mean, the 90s, you could, more so than now.
Maybe, I guess. It's just funny, like, looking back at that, you're like, yeah, no, reporters don't make jack shit.
As a kid, I was really into Casey Jones. As an adult, I hate Casey Jones. He's the worst.
He's like a terrible character. He's like, April's gonna fall in love with me because I say so.
Yeah, and he's a stone cold murderer. He's straight up murdered Shredder.
Oops.
Oops, I'm killing someone and I'm happy about it. Here's a crazy question. Are the Turtles superheroes?
Like, what do we define as a superhero?
I can do academic superhero stuff. Typically, it's a character who has a mission, a costume.
Like a superpower?
Typically, yeah.
I mean, no, I guess not in that sense. They are mutant vigilantes. Like, they don't really have any special powers other than, I guess, they learned martial arts.
My thing with it is, like, they're not really saving people. They're just fighting a war against the foot.
But even that doesn't quite make sense. Like,
no. None of, like, it makes
suddenly
sense.
Suddenly they're in this conflict that really doesn't matter. And it's like a low stakes moment everywhere. I don't know. The plot is not very good. Do you think it holds up as a movie?
No, I like that. I like the costuming. I think the costuming looks up is pretty cool.
I agree.
And the fight scenes are actually pretty cool once you realize these people are doing these things in
rubber suits.
Yeah, which is pretty rad. It just doesn't make a lot of sense. And even the jokes don't really make sense. Like, even when they came out, they're referencing things that are probably 30 years old at that point. And I'm like, who wrote this?
Yeah, it felt like it didn't quite meet its target demographic, which is probably like boys between the ages of like 8 and 14. And then it didn't work for parents either. So it's kind of in this no man's land of not a great movie.
Yeah, weird time. It was a weird time.
All right, Dave, next movie, Gremlins.
Aw, Gremlins. Okay, so I've seen this movie 15 to 30 times. How about you?
Twice. This would probably be the second time I've ever watched it. And I'm pretty sure it might even be once.
Wow. Okay, it's one of those movies. But it's one of those movies that are in the zeitgeist. Like, you know it exists. And you know probably a lot about it before you even watched it.
I feel like I've seen parts of it before, but maybe never the whole thing.
When was the last time you watched it?
Maybe never.
Never. Okay, just double checking there. I think I saw this in the late 90s.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's been a bit. It's on TV around Christmas. This is a Christmas story. You obviously don't have a fond childhood memory of this, so I'll just share mine. As a kid, I went to an after-school program for 2 or 3 hours a day. And there were three little kids, myself included, and we all loved Gremlins, because it was such a huge phenomenon at the time. And we all wanted to be Gizmo when we played. So we decided that there'd be Gizmo 1, 2, and 3. The first one was Gizmo from the first movie, Gizmo from the second movie, and Gizmo from the third rumored movie that never came out, that's still in development. And that's what we did. We would run around the playground on monkey bars and do stuff, and we played Gremlins. I remember making a quote-unquote book as a kid, where I had a spiral notebook, and I would just draw Gizmo fighting random shapes and then have 90 pages of like Gizmo fighting stuff.
A random shape, so like he's fighting a square.
Well, they're monsters, but like as a kid, like I like they all kind of look the same, you know.
When you watch this movie again, do you feel like it holds up, or like what was your reaction here?
It wasn't as good as I remember, and you know that's probably for most of these movies I watched as a kid. I was surprised at one, how kind of scary it was at points. The mother fighting the gremlin scene is pretty gross, frankly. It's awesome, but gross.
Is that when she chucks him in a blender or whatever?
Sticks one in a blender. Yeah, she just goes ham.
Microwaves one.
Yeah, kills three of them.
So that was my reaction to the movie, was like those moments. I'm like, are we really just watching a monster movie where they're just offing the monsters in the most ridiculous way as possible? It kind of felt like that.
It did, but I would have wanted more of that if they're going to lean into it. Like, they should have just leaned into, like, we are going to murder 60 gremlins.
Yeah, that's where it went.
Yes, but not that uniquely. Like, four unique deaths in the whole movie. But I didn't remember the gremlins being so annoying. It's like the same thing you mentioned earlier with Ninja Turtles. It feels like this was marketed towards kids, be like, this is what teenagers and adults do. Ha, it's so funny. They drink a beer and they dress up. I didn't think that part was very funny.
Would you have your kids watch this, your imaginary future children?
No, not for a while. I think they would have to be like 10 or 11 before I even let them watch this. The murder scenes are just too much. And I get it. I like the combination of comedy and horror in it, but it's too gruesome. How about you?
I guess not. Do you feel like there's like casual racism in this movie?
Yes, I think it's more pronounced in the sequel.
The reason I say that is they get the gremlins from this like Chinese mystic in Chinatown, I guess. And the plot is interesting. I don't know. I felt like it probably doesn't play as well these days as maybe it did back then.
Yeah, I completely agree. Do you think the rules for the gremlins make sense?
You know, there's some things I forgot to tell you guys, and they're really important. Number one, he hates bright lights. We know that. But you got to keep him out of the sunlight. Sunlight will kill him. Number two, keep him away from water. Don't give him any water to drink. And whatever you do, don't give him a bath. And probably the most important thing, don't ever feed him after midnight.
I mean, it's pretty loose.
Yeah. Right. I read a review online. It was like, it's always after midnight somewhere. And I was like, that's a good point.
Yeah, I like how, to maybe spoil the movie, they adjusted the clock to be fed before, you know, like before midnight or whatever.
Yeah, that's pretty
so
clever.
Yeah, the gremlins stop the clock, turn back time on a clock a little bit so that they get fed after midnight and then turn into them evil, their evil selves. So they like trick some kid into thinking that.
And then my other thought was, how does the water function? Because Stripe jumps in the pool at the beginning to get a bunch of gremlins. There has to be a limit on how many gremlins he can make in a time period.
Apparently not.
Whatever, it's magic, just go with it, whatever. And that's our second is this Corey Ham movie.
Yeah, I know, that's interesting, right? He's one of the voice of the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, he was huge as a child actor in so many things.
Corey Feldman,
that's right. Corey, R.I.P. Corey Ham.
Next movie, this is my choice, and it is The Mask. So how many times have you seen this?
I saw it 2 or 3 times, including once in a theater.
Gotcha. I think I might have seen it in the theater too. And we had it on VHS, so again, watched it a lot, probably 30 times or so.
I am impressed that you watched this movie 30 times.
Yeah, I think when we were kids, right? And yeah, it's what we, it's really just what like we had. It. Yeah, I gotta say, I did not like this movie at all. I would say the last time I probably watched it was when we had it on VHS. And looking back, the VHS disappeared, I think. I think my mother may have disappeared it.
And that is okay. As parents are wont to do.
Yeah, yeah. And that's fine. You know, when was the last time you think you watched it? You said in the theater, probably.
I'm sure I saw it after it came out in the theater. But the last time I sat through it completely, it was that in the theater. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, and I loved it, though, when it came out. Like, I was really into it, but mostly I was really into Jim Carrey and the animation.
I think that is the same. Like, Jim Carrey was, like, a well-known name, especially amongst young teenage boys at the time.
Today, like, looking back on it, I have, like, some problems with it. I think it's barely a movie. It doesn't really have a narrative. I think it's incredibly problematic in how Carrey's character, he's like a nice guy and women want nice guys, and he should, you know, because he's a nice guy, he should have a woman, and it's a bad lesson for kids and boys. And it's just, I guess I'm over the Zoot Suit revival that was like around when this movie came out. Like, there was like,
yeah,
all that stuff.
Did this movie spurn that, or is it a result of that?
No. I think this was just part of that zeitgeist, because you had, you know, Cool World was like sort of tangentially related. You had the Zoot Suit Riot, the song. You had Swingers, the movie, which is actually rad. I mean, last time I saw it, I thought it was rad. And there was just an attempt in society to like bring back this old thing that no one knew about.
Well, I'm glad that's over.
I mean, it's going to come back again. It's coming back, you know. It's cyclical. Everything's cyclical.
Sure. Okay, so I agree with you. So Jim Carrey tries to carry this movie largely on his weird antics. And like, it doesn't really pull together well into a plot. And the villains are terrible. Like, they're terribly cliched. Maybe that's even intentional, because they almost felt like Looney Tunes villains, where they just try to rob banks and run a nightclub in bad suits or something like that. You know, criminals these days are like spreading disinformation to like grind countries to a halt while spreading fear, mistrust, and misery. So like, how trite those 90s villains were.
Do you, like, if you look at only Jim Carrey's scene taken out of context, they're like sort of entertaining.
But it really is grinds on you.
Yeah.
And you're just like, wow, this sucks. So I just thought the humor was not funny at all. Like, there were no good jokes in this movie. I couldn't think of one.
But when you're a kid, it's like, boom, 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 action, 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 action. Like, yeah. Oh, he's jumping around, he's animated. I mean, I get why I liked it as a kid, but yeah, not good.
I think the movie was one of those movies that had great special effects for the time, because I believe they spent a lot of time working some of those things out, because Jim Carrey puts on this mask and then like his face and all these other things do crazy things. And I think that's maybe why this movie has a place in film history, is purely on special effects. No other reason.
Yeah. Have you ever read the comic book series?
I did. It's ultra violent.
Really? I haven't read it. So tell me about it.
It's ultra violent.
Really? That's it? It's just really
violent. I haven't read it since I was probably 14. It was a Dark Horse comic, and I don't think they captured all of it very well in the movie, is my recollection, but I don't remember much of it either.
I don't have much more to think about this one other than, like, didn't really like it. I wouldn't recommend watching it.
No, forget it exists.
Of the movies we're talking about, that I feel like that's the bomb. Like, The Mask is the bomb out of these six. It's just like,
it's terrible.
It. Yeah.
It is terrible. And that's why my mom disappeared it.
Okay.
All right, cliffhanger up next. How many times have you seen this one?
15 to 20. That's a conservative guess. It's probably more like 15 to 30.
I feel like this is maybe the second time I watched it.
So what did you think when I put this one on here?
There's like a weird thing with some of these action movies from the 90s. They're enjoyable in some weird way. And I felt the same way about this one. It's kind of ridiculous. It's not very serious. I'd say by most accounts, it's probably not good, but it'll entertain you.
Last time I saw this was in the 90s, probably mid 90s, definitely not late 90s. So one of my fondest memories of this is that one summer, my mother babysat the kids down the street. We were all really good friends. There was five of us, and we had this movie and we would watch it all the time during the summer. And we would play Cliffhanger in my basement, and we would like build forts and just play Cliffhanger, which is kind of funny and weird now that I think back on it. And our favorite scene was when Stallone shoots the bad guy through the ice. And we're like, oh, that's such an amazing scene. Like, probably wouldn't actually work, but whatever.
No, probably not. But fun. You know, I felt like there's a lot of that. A lot of the action is like ridiculous. Like, the villains in the movie are like European bad villains, almost similar to the Mask villains, where they're like, we're going to steal money. That's how we're going to do things. You're like, okay, you're really super villains here. It's like the laziest thing you could do as a villain is to steal money.
Yeah.
I felt like there were some really strange things. I know it got an R rating, but I feel like they probably could have toned it down just like a little bit, and it easily could have been a PG-13 movie.
Yeah, yeah. Don't kill someone with a stalactite. Like, don't jump someone through a stalactite.
Yeah, no, that was kind of fun. I think the one other thing that struck me at the beginning of the film, very early on, so we're not really ruining anything in the movie, if you haven't seen it before, Stallone's brother climbs up this tower, this rock tower, with some lady who's never rock climbed before. This is like intense climbing, like very intense climbing. And I'm like, they get stuck at the top. I guess his brother gets injured. There's no way that lady would have made it up like a 200 foot cliff face first time out.
I thought it was his best friend. I didn't even think, was it his brother?
I thought it was his brother.
It's someone he knows that he's very close to.
pretty sure it's his brother. And so like his brother's girlfriend dies in some weird way. But anyway, I don't know. Like that whole setup like is not a good one. I don't know. Like it's.
So I agree with you. It makes no sense how she got up there if she was such a bad climber. But one of the thoughts I had in this movie was when Stallone puts his hat on backwards, it's business time. Because I just saw like over the top when he also puts his hat on backwards. And I definitely spent like 15 to 20 minutes online trying to find pictures of Stallone with his hat on backwards. So that theory is not actually true other than those two movies. But what I did discover is that Stallone's a hat guy. Like, he has a lot of movies where he's wearing some weird hats.
Rocky, he's got a hat on.
Rocky, Rambo, Over the Top, this movie.
Judge Shred.
Yeah, he's a total hat guy. So yeah. We should just do a listicle. Stallone's best hats.
I gotta say, Stallone's like a fun action movie kind of guy from the 90s and I guess late 80s. So if that's something you want to look into, I would recommend it. Like, what's the Demolition Man? It's freaking awesome. It's fun. It's not good. Judge Dredd, same thing. Not good. Kind of fun. This is like one of those bad 90s action movies that are totally enjoyable.
Yeah. This does feel like someone was like, you know what? What if we just had extreme sports in this movie instead of setting it in a bank?
Those two kids, like the teenagers that... Anything else you want to add to the...
I mean, the technology was hilarious in this movie.
Oh, yeah. Like their special GPS unit computers. You're just like, oh my God.
And John Lithgow as the bad guy is amazing because he's a terrible bad guy.
Kill a few people, they call you a murderer. Kill a million and you're a conqueror. Go figure.
Why do all the bad guys wear suits? Like, it never makes sense to me, like, why they're wearing a suit to, like, pull off, you know, like a sky robbery. Like, why would you wear a suit to that?
Because he's classy, John. Duh.
I guess so.
Like, next time I rob a bank, I'm going to make sure to wear a tux.
I feel like anytime I see someone wearing a suit, I think that they have a terrible job or they're like a salesman. Like, that's the only time I ever think of people in suits. Like, I never wear a suit to the office. Almost never with my clients. And these days, since like we're all doing things via Zoom chat, they're wearing like their cozy sweaters or whatever, you know, like, like we're never, I'm not sure we're ever going back to a time where we're ever going to wear a tie again.
Some of us will have to.
I don't think many of us.
Okay. Our final movie, John.
Jurassic Park.
All right.
How many times have you seen this one?
30-ish or more, easy.
I would say the same. That's another one we had on VHS. I saw this in the theater. And before this, I think the last time I saw it was, it was released in 3D probably 5 or 6 years ago into the movie theater, and I saw it then.
I was still in San Francisco, so that had to have been 7 years ago.
Okay. So you went, did you see it in 3D in the theater?
No, I couldn't. That was okay. That was at a point in my life where I was miserable.
Okay.
We don't want to get into that. Fondest memory.
I remember seeing it. I believe my brother went with me too. We were at my grandparents' house. They lived up near Cleveland, and our aunt took us. And it's like one of those big movies that you go and see. I was a big dinosaur fan as a kid, so they took us to see it. And I just remember we went with like another kid, a friend of the family, who was maybe 2 years younger than me, maybe one, absolutely terrorized by this film. When the goat like falls on top of the truck, he was terrified. I just remember that.
So I saw this opening weekend for my birthday, and I saw it in a sold-out theater. And I have a couple memories of what, like really vivid memories of movies that are really stand out to me. And this is one of them. So it's seeing Jurassic Park opening weekend, seeing Avatar for the first time in with the glasses 3D, watching, I guess I would say it's Force Awakened. Like everyone was so into that movie when it came out, that opening weekend. Same with the last Avengers movie, because I was sitting next to an 8-year-old who was commentating the whole time and it was hilarious. He was so excited for it. I was very happy for him. There's one negative movie experience. I have like four really good ones and one negative one. When I saw Batman vs. Superman, so many people looked bored in the theater. I remember like twisting my head and looking at this like the wall, and I was like, this is so boring.
It happens.
but to get back on Jurassic Park, so I saw it in the theater, and then I saw it 6 times when it came to the Dollar Theater. So this is the movie I've seen the most in the theaters.
I guess I've seen it twice in the theater, maybe 3 times. Have you read the book, Dave?
I have. Yeah, I've definitely read the book. I like the book. It's a bit different than the movie. One thing I can say about this book, and it's so funny, Michael Crichton on a sentence-by-sentence level is a bad writer. He has great concepts, and he's pretty good at plotting. But man, he writes the worst sentences. It's like, Nedry was big and fat and evil. Look at him. He's fat. He's eating something. Evil.
I don't remember that about his writing. I actually like, I find his stuff to be like breezy reads. Like he's an easy read in my opinion.
He is. They're interesting. I'm not like saying I don't like his book. I'm just like, I don't think he's a good sentence by sentence writer. It feels like he's more of a script guy who just somehow ended up writing a ton of books. One of the things I think we could talk about this movie is like, do you feel the commentary that's being made in this is apt today.
So you're saying like using science in ways that maybe we shouldn't because we won't or we can't see what's going to happen?
It feels like there's two commentaries happening here. One is a critique of capitalism and the other is a critique of science, which then itself sort of rolls up into capitalism.
Don't you see the danger, John, inherent in what you're doing here? Genetic power is the most awesome force the planet's ever seen, but you wield it like a kid that's found his dad's gun.
It's hardly appropriate to start hurling generalizations.
If I may, I'll tell you the problem with the scientific power that you're using here. It didn't require any discipline to attain it. You know, you read what others had done, and you took the next step. You didn't earn the knowledge for yourselves, so you don't take any responsibility for it. You stood on the shoulders of geniuses to accomplish something as fast as you could, and before you even knew what you had, you patented it and packaged it and slapped it on a plastic lunchbox, and now you're selling it. You want to sell it. Well,
I don't think you're giving us our due credit. Our scientists have done things which nobody's ever done before.
Yeah, but your scientists were so preoccupied with whether or not they could that they didn't stop to think if they should.
Let's go back one step too. So Jurassic Park would not have failed if Dennis Nedry had not shut down everything, right?
No, I don't think so. I think it would have been probably fine. But the kind of the question is fine for how long?
Well, they bred raptors, which was a stupid idea.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's the whole point of the movie. It's like, you didn't give a shit about what you were doing. You only saw the dollars.
Well, I mean, that's also part of it, right? So they've monetized something that's fairly dangerous. Is the other half of this too. So are we doing that now? Is that still applicable?
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah. Like the cult of disruption that comes out of Stanford. It's like if something exists, you need to disrupt it. And I'm not anti-technology, but it feels a lot of times that people don't think about repercussions. They only see dollar signs. They don't, like Uber and Airbnb are kind of examples. Like there's been a lot of fallout from their rise. And it's an interesting model, though I would argue they didn't really innovate anything. They're just switching, you know, labor to there's sort of reclassified labor. The fallout for that is like in New York City, Uber destroyed the taxi market. And then there's plenty of taxi drivers who lost their life savings because their medallions aren't worth anything. And you can argue that they should have modernized. And, you know, I understand that argument, but Uber also broke a bunch of laws to come into the city. Like, that's just what it is. And then with Airbnb, go ahead.
I'm not sure that really parallels exactly what's happening in Jurassic Park, where they've like got something fairly dangerous that they're monetizing, or they've done things with science that maybe they shouldn't have.
Well, I'm talking about the capitalism side. It doesn't track one to one. I do agree with that.
Okay.
Like Uber isn't as dangerous as a T-Rex, and neither is like an Airbnb host.
Right. What's the company called? Gen Con or something?
I don't know. That's a good one. But it's more along the idea of like, as a capitalist society, should we spend more time thinking about repercussions instead of going? And maybe I'm really sensitive to this because I've worked in startups for 8 or 9 years.
I hear what you're saying, but I don't think that is where Jurassic Park was going. Like, I'm not sure that tracks.
Do you think it's more along the science line?
I think it's the science line, but also there's something dangerous that they're going to monetize. So mm-hmm. They're we're gonna make a shit ton of money, but it's something that's really dangerous, and they don't know how it's like what's gonna happen with it. So I feel like that's where the greed comes in, mm-hmm. and okay. I'm not sure that parallels, you know, like Uber changing an industry that hadn't modernized. Like I think there are pieces of it that I agree with. There's unforeseen things that happen. I wouldn't say that tracks to disruption because this happened way before there was that idea of like. Let's shake up an industry.
That's not true. No, that's definitely not true. Like the bubble, the 90s bubble was right after this. The dot-com bubble existed.
Yeah, but I don't think Michael Crichton was writing about that here.
But you could also read it into it. Like just because he didn't write about it doesn't mean it can't be perceived that way.
Sure.
But I would agree with you that it is more about science. Like I'm just like, having a discussion. But it is really more about, you know, you have something dangerous that you didn't think about the repercussions of doing something dangerous. And to answer your question, like, what are dangerous things that are people trying to monetize? they have to exist,
right? Well, probably different oil drilling technologies. Mm-hmm. I would say, you know, like in the deep seas, like they constantly go bad and we ruin things. We're probably really reliant on fossil fuels in a dangerous way, and we could shift industries, but we keep going down this route because certain people are making money. I don't know. Maybe I don't have a good comparison. I mean, I guess you could say if you think that the COVID-19, I guess there was some discussion of there's a lab in China who was experimenting with different things. You know, like maybe that was another example of something mm-hmm. people shouldn't have been messing with or whatever.
Here's just a thought. What if it was Elon Musk's, I haven't read a ton about this, so I might get a little bit wrong, but he was doing something with microchips in brains.
Yeah, well, that could be a bad idea, you know, like without really testing the technology or fully understanding the ramifications. So, I mean, that's why the government has the FDA and things along those lines, so that they can, there's like a whole process for getting a drug or a technology, especially if it integrates into the human body. Like it goes through clinical trials and tests and things like that.
I can tell you right now for the eventual COVID vaccine, I'm not going to be Gen 1 on that.
Yeah, well, that's like another one where, you know, I think there was an article in the paper last weekend, I believe, on the shortest time ever for a vaccine for something. And I forget what it was, but it was like 4 or 5 years. And, you know, it takes a long time, although technology has advanced and we have a lot more computers, because a lot of that stuff was, you know, in the 50s. And things like that. It took 30 years for them to come up with a vaccine for chickenpox. But I think, you know, again, things have advanced, but it's having a vaccine in 18 months is kind of crazy.
Do you have anything else you want to talk about with Jurassic Park? Are you looking forward to the next movie?
So yeah, it's interesting how that's kind of spiraled. I have seen almost all the sequels, I believe, and the next movie is going to be Jurassic World.
I don't know. I know it's just the third one.
So like, what's happened? One. Should we fill people in the storyline?
So I've seen the first four. I have not seen the most recent one. And I do know they're bringing Grant back for the sixth one.
Roughly the story arc is basically the dinosaurs just escape from their island and like go out into the real world. So then people have to deal with dinosaurs everywhere and it's dangerous. So that's like where it started. Like that was essentially sort of what they were getting at here, is like, well, what also happens if these dinosaurs get out in the world? Well, we baked in this technology so they dropped dead, if that ever happens. Turns out that technology that they thought they baked in there didn't work.
Garbage. Okay, you just reminded me of something. Did you play this game on Sega?
I sure did. And it was different from Super Nintendo, and it was hard.
So hard. It's so amazing because you could play as the raptor trying to escape. And we all wanted to play as raptor. We never wanted to play the humans. Like, screw the humans, we'd be the raptor.
I'm not sure I ever beat that game. It was so damn hard.
I don't think I've ever beat it either. It was really good.
there's a Super Nintendo version also that was actually very different. Also pretty hard from what I recall.
So let's have a little bit of discussion about these movies. Like, are you glad you had this exercise and you went back and watched these movies you had?
If I were to rank some of these movies quickly, or just say like which ones are ones that I would say future generations will watch, it's probably going to be Jurassic Park and Wizard of Oz. And then the other four, I would say we could do without, or people are going to forget. That would be my guess.
I think I agree with you. I think Wizard of Oz and Jurassic Park are going to probably stand the test of time. And they're just very excellent, solid films. The other ones are already like seeing remakes. Are all these being remade in some form or fashion?
Is there a remake to Cliffhanger?
I you want to look it up right now. Let's look up Cliffhanger. There's a remake talking.
Well, that's hard to say. You wonder if there's like a TV show in the work or something. I feel like with Ninja Turtles, that one might also have staying power because there have been so many iterations and cartoons and reboots that parents or kids might circle back to that one just to be like, oh yeah, this thing existed. Not very good though.
So there appears to be talk of a Cliffhanger reboot by the guy who producer of the Fast and Furious franchise, and that makes sense. That makes total sense.
Do you know there's a Cliffhanger video game?
No idea. I mean, it was bigger than you remember it being, but I didn't remember there was a video game.
Well, there was always like tie-ins. Apparently there's a Sega CD version that contained a 3D snowboarding experience as the player tries to escape from an avalanche. It sounds like it was on Super NES. And I'm just reading this through. So it played similarly to Street Brawlers like Double Dragon and Final Fight.
Okay.
Which isn't really the movie, interestingly enough, because he doesn't go around punching people on the streets.
I'm actually shocked that they didn't have done a new mask. That feels like a movie that...
There were sequels, actually.
There was one with Jamie Kennedy.
Okay, then that means there's three then, because I believe there was The Son of Mask, and then Son of Mask. Or did that have Jamie Kennedy in it?
I don't know. I know he was in one of the movies.
It did. That was Son of Mask.
I don't know why I know that. That's like one of those things that I couldn't tell you why. I've never seen that film.
I'm just looking. It has terrible reviews. Is probably why. It has a 6% on Rotten Tomatoes.
So we're definitely going to cover it, guys.
After hating the good one, so to speak, I cannot. I will not watch that movie.
So here, let's do this exercise. Do you think there's going to be a Wizard of Oz remake?
There
already has been. What am I talking
about? Really?
I'm pretty sure there's been a Wizard of Oz remake with James Franco. He played the wizard.
Oh, that was a sequel though, wasn't it? It wasn't a remake.
I don't know. I mean, it was Oz the Great and Powerful or something.
Yeah.
So would there be a straight remake? I don't know. It feels kind of maybe they wouldn't remake it, but they would like work around it. But I wouldn't be surprised if they had a remake.
I'm pretty sure there have been like musical productions or things like that maybe don't fall into the remake category, but are basically the same thing. I feel like there's one of those like, hey, it's a live broadcast of The Wizard of Oz, and there's like people
mm-hmm.
reenacting it. And it's not meant to be a remake so much as, what would you call that? Just a reenactment?
A requel?
Yeah.
Just a way to capitalize off the popularity of something.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's happened.
Yeah, there's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I know there was the Michael Bay ones, and I think they're doing something new currently. But not like movies. It might be a TV show, like a cartoon TV show. Gremlins. There's talk of Gremlins 3. That's perennial talk of that constantly. We just talked about The Mask. I don't think anything's coming through. But it wouldn't surprise me. Cliffhangers in the works for the reboot.
Who's in it?
I don't think they have anyone. The script came in at the end of the year, last year. And then Jurassic Park, which they're filming the sixth one. So these are pretty much variable like. They're popular enough that they're still in the zeitgeist today.
I would say, do you think Jurassic Park movies have crossed billion-dollar marks? I bet most of the sequels have.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
So, like, super successful sequels for Jurassic Park.
What's funny about that is, like, the sequels, like, they get worse as you go on.
They're roughly the same. I will say Jurassic Park, like, 2 and 3, not very good.
No. But you get to see Vince Vaughn get killed, so that's cool.
Interesting, yeah, that he's in that movie. All right. Anything else, Dave?
No, I think that was it. So are you happy you did this exercise? Is what I was trying to get at earlier.
I guess it was nice to revisit some of these things, but it was a bit of a slog for a few of the films. Like The Mask was painful to me. Yeah, actually just The Mask was the worst. Everything else, it was fine. What about for you?
I was happy I did it. I'm a little bit sad that Gremlins wasn't as good as I wanted it to be, because I loved that movie as a kid. And I had so many fond memories of it. And I still have fond memories of it. And no, nothing's going to take those memories of it. But sometimes I think maybe we shouldn't revisit stuff.
I was thinking that too. Like the nostalgia you have for a lot of things. I feel like the G.I. Joe cartoon show is one of those things where loved it as a kid. Went back and watched most of the episodes maybe 10 years ago and was kind of like, meh, I don't need to watch that again.
Listeners, I think you're thinking about doing something like this. Just... I would say ask yourself why you want to do it and ask yourself if you're okay with sort of tarnishing some of your memories of it. But also know they can't take away some of those fun memories. Like just because Gremlins wasn't what I wanted to be now doesn't remove the fact that I had so much fun playing Gizmo as a kid.
Yeah, I think that's true. I feel like maybe just look at an online review to be like, now that I'm an adult, would I still like this? And then you can see if it's a good spend of your time or not.
So let's talk about what's next. This was our surprise episode, everyone. And next up, we were going to do, drum roll, The Apartment. Yeah, I'm excited about this one. I had several people email and text me and send me some Facebook messages saying they are also very excited about this one. I did not realize it was as popular as it is.
Me either.
So if you want to get a hold of us, you can contact us at david@awardwieners or john@awardwieners.com. You could find us on Instagram @awardwieners and also on all the other social medias with the same handle.
Okay, so thanks for listening, and we hope that you enjoyed your childhood. I hope
all you dreamed of. And I wish you joy and happiness. But above all this, I wish you
you.